everyone, and welcome to episode 17 of the Well and Wild podcast. So this week we have wellness entrepreneur Hannah Holt of Equanimity joining us. She has an amazing story. It's so inspiring and really, really relatable as well, which I think is really great. And that's something that really stuck out to me. She's obviously such an action taker and she thinks in a very positive way as well. And both of these things, I think, have held her in good stead whilst building her amazing wellness business. Equanimity, her business, actually helps incorporate and bring wellness to the workplace. So I think the conversation around that and the importance of incorporating wellness into the workplace was super interesting, and Hannah shares a lot of perspectives on that as well. She also moved to Sydney for most of her 20s, which was really interesting talking about that. She had a great time there, but hit a bit of a blip in her life when she actually returned back to London. So it's really interesting to hear about how she coped with that and the things she put in place to kind of overcome that low point that she had. And something that I just love about Hannah is that she, when she decided that she wanted to set up her business, she chose to take a maternity cover job. And what that did was it gave her a deadline to, obviously the contract had a finite amount of time to it, so it gave her a deadline to quit and go full time on her business. And I just love that kind of determination and risk taking like element to her, and I just found it so interesting speaking to her and learning more about how she built her business. I think you'll really enjoy the conversation. She's a super inspiring lady, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome, Hannah. Thank you so much for coming on the Well and Wild podcast today. How are you? How's your day going?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, it's going well, thanks.
Good. So let's start by, if you could just do a little introduction to yourself for the listeners.
Yeah, sure. So my name's Hannah. I am the founder of Equanimity. We are a wellness agency working to make wellness accessible within the workplace, as well as events and retreats. And I set up the company last year, having recently spent my entire career working in the corporate environment. So bit of a change, but it's a sort of passion that it's been burning away at me for a long time now. So I finally took the plunge last year. So exciting times for me at the moment.
Yeah, really exciting. And I'm looking forward to kind of going into more detail about the brand and your story and how you got started with it. But let's start at the beginning. So you've had a corporate career in sales. So let's start out at the very beginning, because I'm always intrigued as to why people choose their career path initially. So how did you find yourself in sales as a career?
Honestly, I sort of fell into it. My dad, he was sort of a self-made businessman. He sort of ingrained in me the hard work ethic, and he sort of set up his own company. But I always had him as sort of inspiration, but he was also, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I sort of fell into a sales role and then sort of found my niche in a particular industry, which was the licensing industry. So I worked with various different brands and sort of really worked my way up the ladder. I was a bit of a nightmare when I was younger. I didn't go to college. I didn't go to university, and neither did my parents. So I guess I sort of had that as a belief that I could sort of go out and do it on my own. And I guess there was a point where I was trying to prove to my dad that I can do what you did.
I love that.
Long story short, I just sort of fell into it, really.
I feel like most salespeople say that. I didn't mean to end up in sales. Okay, so, and you lived in Sydney for a bit of time as well. I'm really interested, because I do have some Australian listeners as well. I'm interested, and a lot of British people like to move to Sydney too. So I'm interested in your experience in Sydney. What was it like living and working there?
It was amazing, like such a, huge part of my life. I've still got friends there. It's where my career really escalated and I climbed the ladder. I was very much a sort of a big fish in a small pond.
Right.
I was offered a sponsorship over there back in 2004. And yeah, because my industry was quite niche, so they wanted sort of experts within their field to come and work in Australia. So yeah, the lifestyle was amazing. I lived in Bondi.
Love that.
And I was there between sort of 24 to sort of 33, so it was really my party years. Yeah. But it was so much fun. I really miss it. I miss it for the sun and I miss it for the lifestyle. But I sort of always knew that it was at one point time to come back to London. I had to return home because my father had a stroke. So that was a bit of an uproot situation, which actually then was my caveat really for my downward spiral, which sort of hit me when I got back to London.
Mm. Okay.
But these things happen for a reason, and I've learned a few things from what happened to me and the journey through when I hit sort of rock bottom, really, when trying to sort of move back from Sydney, setting up my life in London again. And I really sort of, because I've been, had such an amazing life in Sydney, I thought I was just going to come back and set it all up for myself. And I didn't, it took me months to get a job and I was unhappy and, living at home with mum and dad again. And it just, It helped me really find gratitude and mindfulness, which is sort of a talk that I do with equanimity, which is, because we always take things for granted and we always expect sometimes things to fall on our plate. But, when they don't, some people find it difficult and, they can hit a crisis. I mean, we can all relate to having a crisis at one point in our life, I'm sure. But that was my time, that transition from Sydney back to London, definitely.
Okay, and we'll definitely explore that in a bit more detail, but let's just add a bit of context. So the role that you had in Sydney then, the sales role, can you just explain a little bit more about what you did?
Yeah, sure. So I was working in the licensing industry for some pretty big companies like BBC Worldwide and Fremantle Media, and basically they like to commercialize some of their brands. So using like Fremantle Media as an example, say X Factor or Grand Design. So I would be responsible for commercializing those brands into a physical consumer product. So, using BBC like Top Gear, key rings and t-shirts and all that sort of thing. So I basically was licensing brand rights to develop into a consumer product.
Mm-hmm. Okay, makes sense. And just also going, I just want to pick up a little bit more on the Sydney stuff. So because I think some of the listeners, moving abroad is a big decision to make. And some of the listeners out there might know that they want to move abroad one day, but haven't necessarily taken the leap. So what advice would you have for someone that might be listening that's thinking about moving to, it could be Sydney or it could be anywhere. What advice would you give them?
I sort of had it quite easy really, in that I had the job offer, I had the sponsorship visa, but many of my friends that did it just like upped and left, just went out there and tried to go out on a holiday visa initially just to get their feel for it and just to see whether actually they could live there. Because as much as the weather's amazing and the lifestyle is completely different and it's not for everyone. So I guess it's, it depends on the situation, but, if you don't like it, you can always come back. And that I left, actually. I told my mum that I was only going for a year because I had no idea what it was going to be like. I didn't know anyone over there. I was actually traveling over with my now ex-boyfriend. So I had that as a little bit of a cushion. We knew no one. So it was really difficult at the beginning, trying to make friends, trying to, if you are trying to find a job, then that's obviously a challenge as well. But I sort of walked into a job and sort of built friends from that. And it just, I then, started a life for myself. So yeah, I guess it's just do it, which is,
Sounds like a really good decision though. And it sounds like you had really good time there as well.
Oh yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. I was living a carefree life, just doing what I wanted and everything sort of fell into my play and I got some great jobs and can't fault it at all.
Living on Bondi. I'd love to be able to say that.
Apart from obviously being far away from home, that was the only difficult part, you know. Yeah. A lot of your travel and holiday allowance is used to going back to England. So that was probably the hardest part, really, was just being so far away from everyone.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, and then, so we touched on it just before, but you then came back to England. And at that point, did you... So you had a bit of time where you didn't have a job, right? So what was that like? You said it was really tough stage for you. Could you just add a bit of context to that?
Yeah, sure. So I actually moved back and came back again twice. just as I was about to move back to London, I actually met someone. So I decided to then do a long distance relationship.
Always delay, isn't it? Those things always happen. I'm not even
I know. Anyway, so when I first got back to London, I had a job, right? I got the interview before I left. And Dad wasn't really ill at that point. He was ill, but you know, it wasn't sort of life threatening. And anyway, I came back, but of course my mind wasn't focusing on London. I was putting Sydney on a pedestal. I wasn't settling because I was juggling or trying to keep up this long distance relationship, which was crazy. And the job I had,
he was in Australia or he was in England?
Yeah, he was in Australia.
You were in England, right?
Yeah. The job I got was a pretty senior job, and it was a job that I never should have got because you know, with Australia, I was very much a big fish in a small pond, and in London the whole market is completely different. I hadn't been here for 9 years, so to walk into a director level role, I was way in over my head, and I had a really, really challenging boss. Anyway, long story short, I moved back to Australia for the relationship, mm-hmm. even though I knew my gut feeling was it wasn't quite right, but I thought I've got to see if there's an option for it to work out. So I quit my job. I go back to Australia, and I knew before the plane had even what was I doing. Anyway, 2 months later, I end the relationship and I come back to London. At this point, I have no job. It's November, it's 2014. I think, I'll get a job quickly, no problem. I've never not got a job before. Mm-hmm. Long story, 7 months down, fast track 7 months, I'm still unemployed, I'm still living at home with mum and dad, and that was a point where I really hit rock bottom, because I just kept thinking, I will be happy once I get a job, I will be happy once I move back to London and get a relationship, and I was basically completely disconnected with what was going on in the present moment. And that for me is where I went on a yoga retreat and met this instructor who's one of my dear friends now, and she helped me find gratitude, and she helped me find acceptance, because I was really beating myself up. Every job I got turned away from, I was, you know, the whole self-doubt kicks in and the confidence then plummets. So it was a sort of a really difficult year, really, because even when I got the job, it was then moving back and trying to set up another life for myself again. So
it sounds, yeah, I can totally understand how that must have been really tough. And it sounds like that yoga retreat was a pivotal time in terms of kind of changing your mindset, if you like, and going back on like an upwards trajectory. So how did you decide to go on that yoga retreat? Were you into yoga before? Like, how did you suddenly go, right, I'm gonna go and do that then? So it's quite unless you were into yoga, it is quite a random thing to go and do.
Yeah, sure. I'd actually been practicing yoga, right, for my mum introduced me to yoga when I was about 18 through a Barbara Curry DVD. That's when it was a video, back in the day. Okay. And I completely dismissed it. I was like, this is not exercise, I'm not doing it. Anyway, slowly but surely it started to resonate. And then in Sydney I practiced yoga a lot. I'd always used it as my way to sort of disconnect. And, you know, even when my jobs were starting to get stressful, it would be my sort of way to help balance that out. So yeah, always had a love of yoga. And I guess I was just in such a bad place that I just needed something. And the instructor was actually a friend of mine from Sydney, and it was a goddess retreat, and it's all about, the whole theme of the retreat was acceptance and finding self-love. Like, I'd beaten myself up for so long, and the whole sort of masculine energy of me with, you know, you must do this, and our family motto was GAD, which is grit and determination.
Wow, okay. No wonder you ended up in sales.
But with that, I would give myself a tough time. So I just needed, I was fed up with just having the same battles over and over again. So I just went off to Ibiza, and it completely changed. I'd go to say it changed my life, really, because that's how I found really gratitude. And that's how I started to really practice, have a meditation practice. And it's something that I now, you know, as part of my daily ritual is to be grateful and to also be mindful every day.
I actually think it's worth pausing on this at the minute and just saying that I think there's so much in, if you're going for a shit time and you're almost a bit lost and you don't know how to get out of it, taking yourself out of that environment, even if it is just for a week, and going and doing something a bit crazy that you don't, and you don't even need to overthink about it, just go and do it. And I feel I did something similar. When I quit my job, it was great because I'd quit and I'd done that, but I still wasn't quite a shit place. And so I decided to go and do my yoga teacher training, not really knowing like what the course was about or what even I was going to be doing for 23 days. But really that completely changed my mindset and life and stuff like that. So I would say to any listeners out there who this is resonating with, that it's worth going and doing something if you can. And it could be a yoga retreat, it could just be a bit of traveling, but just taking yourself away from that environment gives you like space to think clearly without all these constant things that are dragging you down, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just sort of taking a step away, isn't it? It also helps put things into perspective. And part of that retreat was I chose to do this. A lot of the girls had their phones with them, but I put my phone away for a week, and it was the most liberating week of my life because it was just all about me. And it was such a life-changing, game-changing moment just to do that for me. You know, it was all about me.
Yeah.
So definitely taking a step away is just so, so important.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, so you went to do the retreat and it kind of changed your mindset a little bit and started you back on this path again that was more of a positive one. So what did you then decide to do when you came back?
So I walked into, after coming back from this retreat, I walked into the most stressful job I've ever had. I had a boss that was 24/7, would expect the world from everyone who worked for him. And I started to really burn out. I'd met my now husband at the time, and it was really sort of taking toll on our relationship. I had no work-life balance. I was literally on my phone all the time, on emails through the weekend, and I just thought this is just getting ridiculous. And I'd always, I guess, had that burning desire to go and sort of start my own business. I wasn't quite sure what it was. I knew that I loved yoga. I knew that I loved everything in fitness. So I quit my job at Warner Brothers, and I took a maternity cover job at Fremantle Media, where I'd worked previously, because I knew that I was then giving myself an end goal. I knew that I would have to make a decision within the maternity contract, and the maternity cover, the company were great, and I had a little bit more time to do my teacher training on the side, and in that time sort of prepare and start to get ideas of what it was I wanted to do. So yeah, I guess it was a sort of a slow transition out, but I think by having that deadline of me to commit to something by the end of Fremantle Media really helped.
Yeah, that's really, I love that because it's quite a ballsy move, but at the same time, it's sort of you giving yourself a little push, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
because yeah, I'm that sometimes.
Yeah, I'm a big procrastinator, and even after the push and the commitment of ending and finding something by the end of Fremantle, I still didn't quite know what equanimity was. But I was then sort of went on another direction and was ended up working for a startup that was opening a yoga studio. And that was a sort of a segue, and I was still, they wanted me to sort of develop the brand into a consumer brand. So I was using sort of, you know, my background in sales and brand development, as well as sort of getting into the wellness industry. So on paper, it was my dream job. It was a startup, so that sort of came with its challenges as well. But that role helped me then meet more instructors. I was recruiting for the studio, and that sort of allowed me to spend more time understanding the struggles that instructors face with sort of trying to go after their passion and teach, but also then try and make ends meet and try and, you know, they're running from studio to studio and, you know, instructors, as much as they're preaching and teaching, you know, the work life and yoga and the benefits of that, they then in turn have their own challenges in sort of working long hours and then trying to deal with the account side. And there's just a whole juggling act for a yoga instructor themselves. So I guess I was sort of starting to get the ideas of how I could add value and how I could try and sort of create something and create new opportunities for instructors. Yeah.
I think that's really interesting and a really smart move as well, to acknowledge that you like the wellness industry and yoga and things like that, but at the same time, you acknowledge that you weren't necessarily sure, you didn't have that light bulb idea at that point. So then going and getting a job in the industry, knowing that whatever it is, you're going to come out with a positive because you're going to be learning so much and building new contacts which will be useful, and then allowing yourself the time to think of that idea, and by immersing yourself in that industry, you're more likely going to think of an idea in that industry, if that makes sense. So I think that's a really, really smart move. So let's talk a little bit about deciding to set up Equanimity and venture out on your own. So what was the thought process behind that, and what ultimately made you take action on that idea?
So the wellness startup was sort of, they weren't getting the investment they needed, so that was sort of grinding to a little bit of a halt. So I knew I needed to move. I'd sort of now had established a network within the wellness industry. So one of the first things I did was to talk to the Women in Wellness group, which is a group that Lauren Arms created. And I just sort of started to seed some ideas to people on the group, just to get their thought on what I was thinking. I also had a few of instructors who were friends of mine who sort of kept saying, you know, you should be an agent. We need an agent. I was like, what do you mean an agent? And they were like, well, you know, you're great at selling and you're really organized and you could, you know, help us. A few things started to fall into place. And then I did spend a good sort of few months researching and sort of, I guess, sort of sounding it out with friends and people within the industry. Yeah, I guess I would then started to procrastinate a little bit. A friend of mine within the industry, Christina Hunt, she was like, just do it, just start, because otherwise it's just, you're just never going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, I then sort of started to build the website and sort of started to really figure out what it is that I could actually sell and how, you know, yeah, it's a great idea to try and find new opportunities, but what does that actually mean? There was a lot of work in sort of figuring it out, a lot of reading of Simon Sinek, what, you know, people know by what you do, they by why you do it. So I kept saying, well, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
But, you know, in essence, I wanted to try and find a way to help people in a stressful working environment find a work-life balance, because I'd had that experience. So it's, I felt like I had something to add, and hopefully we'll be able to help people within the corporate world.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. And I think that it's really good that you kind of took upon those opinions of other people, and well, not opinions, but almost like research, if you like what are the problems people are having. And then you also looked to your own strengths and saw how you could help that, if you know what I mean. And I think if people are stuck for business ideas, it is good to figure out what it is that your strengths are and see whether you can apply that in any way to an industry that you enjoy. So let's explain exactly what Equanimity does then, to begin with. That might be worth giving context.
Yeah, sure. So basically what we do is we work with wellness professionals within their field. So whether it be a yoga instructor, a mindfulness coach, a lifestyle coach, sound therapy, breath work. So we find the professionals within their field, and then I, at the moment, am pitching the concept of wellness to businesses. So, you know, how workplace wellbeing programs, you know, obviously there's a major issue with stress and burnout, and, you know, mental health is now a topic that is much more widely talked about now. So, you know, I'm going in and pitching the opportunity of bringing, whether it be wellness to the workplace from a workshop that might be stress management, or just simply bringing a yoga class to a boardroom. So just sort of trying to create new opportunity then for the instructor or the mindfulness coach that may not have a route into a particular organization. I'm effectively their route in and helping to sort of, yeah, make wellness more accessible within the workplace, as well as I'm also working with some retreat companies. So, you know, corporate away days. Wellness is such a trending topic at the moment. You know, we're much more mindful of what we're doing to ourselves, both physically and mentally. So I think if you can take your team away to, you know, a great location and do something that will make them feel good, I think you're going to get much more of a team that will really want to work for that particular organization, and because you're actually doing something for them. So that's sort of it in a nutshell. I'm effectively sort of bringing wellness to the workplace and events and retreats by working with professionals within their field and trying to create new opportunities for them.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And in terms of, I'm really interested actually how the corporations are thinking about wellness at the moment, because if you think about 5 years ago, these conversations probably weren't really happening at all. And I imagine it's changed so much. So what are the conversations like that you're having with these corporates, and how sort of receptive are they to it? And I'd imagine like a lot of them are crying out for this stuff at this point.
Well, firstly, if you could let me know who those ones are. to be honest, it's a real mixed bag. Like, they know what wellness is. They know that they should be doing something to improve employee well-being, but they either don't have the budget, they don't know who needs to take charge and organise something within the office. Some of them who are more advanced, you know, obviously they're at capacity with what they can offer. So that's why when originally Equanimity was more about yoga, but actually yoga in the boardroom is sort of something that's been sort of readily available for a lot of organizations. So mindfulness is a huge topic, and so many benefits to, you know, reducing stress. And it really helped me. So I'm so passionate about trying to introduce, you know, simple mindfulness techniques that people can use just starting their day, you know, getting them on a positive mindset. So I'm trying to also create sort of like bite-sized toolkits that people can use within their day, and using, you know, my experience of what I do and what benefits me, as well as, you know, obviously researching other techniques and that sort of thing. So Yeah, it's a real mixed bag. But the good thing is there is appetite there. You know, people know that they need to be doing something, and it's always in some form of press about, you know, stress or mental health, or particularly all of the industry, like insights that come out from like the World Health Organization, are just really cementing that we need to do something. We need to be proactive, not reactive.
Yeah.
So I think it's changing all the time, which is great. So I think this time next year we'll be talking about, you know, mental health will be something that what organisations need to put and implement a strategy for, because more and more people are burning out, you know. So yeah. It's
absolutely. I think it's a no-brainer, and the corporations, it should be a no-brainer, because when you think about the preventative nature of wellness and mindfulness and all of these things, and then you look at like how many people get signed off for stress, sick days, and like the drop in productivity as a result of that, just investing a bit in teaching your employees how to adopt these techniques, which are likely to prevent some of that, it's gonna pay for itself like tenfold, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, is that they want the return on investment at the moment, and how can you quantify if you implement a wellness program, how will that increase productivity, or how will that reduce sick leave? But I mean, there is research coming through that if you invest X, you get more in return. But it's not even about you know, investment from a financial point of view. There's so many other benefits from it. So I think it's just trying to slowly get them to think about it in another way. And, you know, in time, obviously, hopefully we'll make some changes.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, so let's flip it a little bit and say, do you have any advice for anybody who maybe feels the same as you felt in terms of they're kind of stuck in a corporate job that they don't really like, or, you know, it's all right, but it's not really what they want to be doing. And they would love to start a business, but they don't have that light bulb idea. They're not really sure. What would be your advice for them?
Well, first of all, I guess, listen to your intuition, listen to your gut. Like, we are sent messages for a reason. And this I might be going too spiritual here, but, you know, everything happens for a reason, and, you know, what's meant for us will come for us. So if you have something that's been burning, you know, burning desire, that keeps cropping up, or I ask for signs from the universe, because if I'm not quite sure on something, I'll put it out there. And the more you put it out there, the more you talk about it, the more something becomes real. So my advice would be just to listen to your intuition, talk to people. And if there's something that keeps cropping up, then maybe research it, or just see what your competitors are doing, or pitch it to somebody and see what they think. And, you know, that's I think, and the more you sort of then get the good feedback and it starts to then resonate, the more your confidence will build and it becomes real. So that would be my advice. Listen to your gut.
Mm-hmm. And then from a perspective of them just feeling a bit shit in general, what's your advice from a wellness perspective or mindfulness perspective on how, on certain techniques or tools that they should adopt? And this is talking to someone that probably hasn't ever tried any of these things before, but they've heard the term meditation, they've heard of yoga. Like, what would be a first few steps you would suggest if they're feeling burnt out and just a little bit low in life?
Well, first of all, I guess you've got to find out what works for you. I mean, yoga might not resonate with everyone. It might be like going for a run, or even going for a walk in nature. Like, the more when we exercise, you get that endorphin rush. It's like our body's little happy pill. So, you know, if you are feeling flat, just getting out for a walk in the air, or going for a run, or getting to a yoga class, because, I mean, yoga is just the way to disconnect from the outside world. It's a form of, you know, movement meditation in itself. When you're focusing on your breath, it's just your time. For me as well, I practice gratitude every day. So the moment I get up, I make my hot lemon. And I sit at the end of my bed, and you know, it's important to feel comfortable when you're sort of taking these moments to be a bit mindful. And I just think about three things that I'm grateful for that day. And it, you know, it could be my comfy bed I slept in, the house, my lovely home, my loving husband, you know, just, and the moment you start to think about things that you're grateful for, the more that you start to feel content and you feel happier and you start on a positive mindset. So I think practicing gratitude is just so important. And, you know, the more that you get more familiar with it, you can then start to use it as a way to bring things into your life. So, you know, I'll be grateful for a meeting going well or a phone call that I want to get a result from. So it's just a way to sort of start to think in a more positive mindset.
I totally agree with that, definitely.
Gratitude and just moving, just getting out and moving and focusing on your breath. I think it's so important to stop and take one conscious breath, and even by doing that, your stress levels will lower, you're boosting your energy by, because you're introducing new positive energy and new oxygen, new life force into your body, that it just immediately changed your whole mindset just to stop and breathe, which so many of us don't do.
That morning routine thing resonates with me so much, and I do a morning routine as well now, and it's quite not intense, but it's got quite a lot to it now. But it didn't start off like that. But now I'll write a couple of sentences, just anything that comes to me. And that's really, as soon as I wake up, and that's really to then show myself, okay, this is the feeling that's coming through, or this is what's on my mind, without having any influence, because I haven't checked my phone, haven't checked anything. And that's just interesting to say, okay, this is how I'm feeling. And then the grateful thing, so writing down three things you feel grateful for, which is so nice sometimes, because sometimes I think, oh God, I can't think of anything, but then literally things, it doesn't stop, does it? And it's nice to actually draw attention to some good things that have happened, because too often these days these things just happen, then we forget about them and we don't realize how positive they were. And so, like, I totally agree with you, drawing attention to it at the start of the day can flip any negativity that you might have there into positive, which I think is so important. And on the morning routine thing, I notice it. If I don't do that, I will notice it, and in how I'm feeling, I won't quite feel as perhaps like as stable or able to shift my mindset as easily as if I had done it. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's a great way to shift your mindset, and I actually use it at the end of the day as well. I will when I get into bed, I almost play like a little show reel of things that went well during my day, and that is a great way to sort of say, actually, you know, oh yeah, that did go well, and oh yeah, that person helped me, and oh yeah, that, like, even just silly things like someone smiled at you, you know. It's just, we just rush around all the time and we just don't take a note to stop and just be mindful and be grateful and thank you for such a great day we had.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's such a powerful thing to do.
And even if you didn't have a great day, there's always something good that did happen. You know, some days they will be shit, but you know, if you stop and think, well, actually a few things did go well, then it does put things into perspective.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, actually. Yeah, if you had a bit of a shit day or you're feeling like it was shit, then it's worth stopping and then saying, let's pick something good at least. And then that's going to make it take it up one notch at least, you know? Yeah. Okay, so we're kind of coming up to time, but I have a little quick fire round that would be great if that's all right with you.
Yeah.
Cool. So the first one, what's the best book you've ever read?
I've got lots, but I think the one that had the most impact for me would be Louise Hay, Heal Your Life. She's absolutely amazing, and just setting affirmations and being your own best friend. And I've just read that book so many times and given it to so many different friends of mine that have gone through a tough time. But I love that book.
Amazing. And then this podcast is called the Well and Wild Podcast because I believe that to be well in life, sometimes you need to do some wild things and dare to go against convention and the norm. So, Hannah, what's the wildest thing you've ever done?
I think it would have to be going to Burning Man.
Really? I've had that one before.
Really?
That's amazing. I love how wild that one is. It's definitely true.
Yeah, it's definitely taking yourself out the box. It's just a whole other world, literally. But it was amazing experience. I'm so glad I did it. I mean, the preparation and the lead up to going was just insane. I've never seen so many Excel spreadsheets of who was doing what in the camp. And who,
So what's it like? I really want to know. I'm fascinated.
It's like stepping into another world, literally. I mean, A, you're disconnected from the outside world. B, I've just... extreme levels of just different variants of people there.
Yeah.
The music, it's just mind blowing. It really is. And you know, we were in a camp with a few of my friends, and it's just crazy. If you can go definitely.
How long is it? How long are you there for?
Well, you can sort of dip in and out, but you can't dip in and out literally, but you can go for the full 7 days, or you can sort of, we went for about six, but yeah, I mean, it sort of gets busier as the lead into the big burn on the, I think it's Saturday night, is it? But,
sounds insane.
Yeah, it's mental.
Good answer. Okay, and finally, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
I've got lots of different quotes that I live by and mottos, but I think if I'm relating it to equanimity, it would be just start, which was the advice that I got when I was really sort of procrastinating, and by doing that, you know, things started to make I was creating motion and things started to change and roll out. So I think, just start.
I really think that is a real gold piece of advice, to be honest, to a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs. You can't wait until it's perfect. You just can't do it inefficient. You've got to just go and put yourself out there. And if you can't, then, you know, maybe it's not for you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was procrastinating over a business plan. Should I seek investment? Should I do this? How am I going to do the website? And I was like, for God's sake, just get on, just start. Just start talking to people. I still, you know, there's still things that I need to do. It's changing all the time. But, you know, I'm making adjustments all the time with every person I speak to, which is, I guess, is a great thing of having your own business, because I can choose to swap things around to benefit who I'm talking to.
Yeah, and the reality is, once you start, you know, that's not the first time you're putting yourself out there. It just continues and continues and continues. So you just have to do it, if you know what I mean. It's not like the first time and then that's it.
And also, you know, when I started, the website's since changed. My pitch has since changed. So, you know, and that will happen naturally and organically anyway. So the moment you just start, then nothing's set in stone, you know?
Yeah, like stop talking about it and just, you know, just get on with it.
Yeah, love that. Let's talk, more action.
Yeah, totally agree. Okay, thanks so much, Hannah. Where can the listeners find you and Equanimity?
So our website is www.findequanimity.com. I don't know why I said www. Welcome to the 21st century. You can follow us on Instagram at Find Equanimity. That's probably my two main channels at the moment.
Okay, and I'll post those in the show notes as well, so the listeners can just click on those. But thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. It's a great conversation.
It was lovely. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
So thank you so much for listening, everyone. That's the end of the episode. I would really, really appreciate it if you could leave me a review. You don't even need to write anything. If you're pushed for time, just tap on the stars and it submits it. It just really, really helps when I'm trying to get more amazing guests on for you. So yeah, thank you so much for listening, and I will chat to you next week.